This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned. Because I got a whole bunch of that stuff.
Yes, indeed.
And that voice you hear is my friend, Elder Attorney Sean Scott.
Welcome. How you doing? Good afternoon.
I'm doing really good.
Yeah,
I'm doing
me too. Really good. Good day. It's a good day.
It's a very good day. And also in the studio today, we have Cammy Baker, who is a real change agent.
Well, thank you for having me. When we met on Facebook, I knew that this is what I needed to be doing, coming and sharing some new stuff with your
listeners. Yeah, and we had some conversations, and you were on my podcast, and I'm like, yeah, this
pretty
is
cool.
There is a good thing about all this Facebook and stuff.
Social media can be social.
Yes, it can. And it can be good for business. It can be good for business. And for me, with educating caregivers, it's fabulous. Because, you know, you can take a little piece here, like the Tuesday tips or whatever, and just get something from it, which is my goal. And where is Lynn Thornley? Oh, where is Lynn today? Well, her friend...
She's changed into me.
Yes.
<She's>,
so now you can make fun of me,
right,
instead
exactly,
of her.
Exactly, yeah.
Now you're a good person to take that seat. Yeah, so Lynn's friend Frank came back into town last night, so they're out gallivanting today. So welcome back, Frank and Lynn. I hope you're having a good day today. So I want to give a shout-out to our newest listeners. We have Janika in Tampa, Leslie in Largo, and Jim in Seminole. And like I always say, there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for more listeners, whether you listen to the show live or on Facebook or YouTube or wherever they'll take us. Because I just want to bring information and resources and help to caregivers. Because the journey is not easy. But the more we share, you know, I had a great support group this morning. And I mean, what I really like is when I have a support group, and someone asks a question, and everybody else answers it.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've learned, you know, they've come, or they have answers, I don't know, because, like, I never took care of a person with Parkinson's.
Right.
So I can't tell you certain, I don't know about that stuff. And what we've done with those support groups is because lots of times after someone's loved one passes, they still come back to the support group.
Right.
They've been in it sometimes for 5 years, and they want to share with other people. So what I've done now is I started a mentor program.
Really?
So if your loved one passed from Parkinson's and a new person comes in the group who's dealing with somebody with Parkinson's, then you could talk during the week on the telephone. Or, like I say, I never took care of someone with Parkinson's. I can tell you what I've learned from books and from other caregivers,
sure,
but I can't. And it kind of gives the caregiver also a new purpose, because you've been caring for someone for 24/7.
Yep.
And what do I do now?
What a beautiful thing to do.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Yeah, sharing that knowledge base with other people that are going through the same journey, super, super important. When I'm talking with my clients, one of the things I always ask are, are you in a support group for my Alzheimer's patients, my Parkinson's patients?
Yeah.
So, super
and any
important.
Caregiver.
Very, very important.
I mean, you could be caring for a child. A caregiver is a caregiver.
Yep.
And some of the stuff is just exactly the same. I mean, this morning was a lot about taking the keys away. Conversation. I don't want
talk.
Anybody to ever take my keys away.
Correct.
But we know that's going to happen one day. Hopefully, I will be a right sound of mind that I can say, okay, it's not safe for me to drive anymore and I'm not going to do this. You know, and that can work with some people. Some people have to disable cars or sell cars,
Yeah, but some of my Alzheimer's clients, the issue of driving can be kind of tricky because they believe that they are perfectly okay to do that, and they're not.
No.
But they will refuse to believe that, and they get very tricky with you. So we've had things where we've disabled the car, pulling out a little piece in the engine so that the ignition wouldn't run. Just because there's the car, I don't know what's wrong with it.
Yeah, honey. I don't know.
I'll get it fixed next week, though.
Yeah, I don't know. Because then they don't remember the next thing they ask again,
exactly.
So you can still keep telling them that. But, when my mom moved to Florida, the year before she moved to Florida, she blew out 5 tires hitting curbs because she was in New York.
Oh, my God.
You know, you're not parking well. And my brother would be furious. Again, I gotta go, and whatever. So when she moved to Florida, we... said we were going to take her car, and she, I don't know, gave it to one of my sister's girlfriend's teenage kid.
Right.
It was about time for the end of that car.
Anyway. Sure.
and because she wouldn't need a car here. She was living in Freedom Square, in independent living. This transfer, and then me. I was with her just about 24/7.
Sure.
But she'd be on me every day when I pick her up about the car, the car, the car, the car, the car, the car. So finally I said to her one day, you know what, Mom? I think next week we'll rent a car.
Right.
And you can drive the car with me. And if you feel comfortable, we'll talk about getting your car.
Right.
Okay.
So I rent the car. How did that work out?
I rent the car. It's like day three. I'm still driving the car.
Right.
I go to pick her up. I'm like, Mom, you need to drive today.
Right.
And I take her down the back roads to the bank, not on Seminole Boulevard or anything like that. She's like, grabbing the wheel and frightened. She doesn't even know where she is.
Oh, God.
And we pull in the parking lot, and she takes the keys and she throws them at me. And she goes, done, you're my chauffeur. I was like, okay.
Welcome to your new job.
Right, but it was her decision.
Yeah.
Right, sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, and plus you have to look at it that we're probably the first generation that had to take the keys away. Because the generation before did not live as long.
Right.
Most moms didn't drive.
Right.
So it's, you know.
My grandmother never drove. She had seven kids, never drove a car.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
Married at 13.
Goodness gracious.
Wow. Goodness Very gracious. Interesting. Yeah.
I have to tell you, when I was in Nashville, we were at the Grand Ole Opry, and they were applauding for this man, and they put on the screen, he has 82 grandchildren.
Ooh.
82!
How many children did he have to get to 82?
He had 10 children.
Oh, my God.
So that means they did 8.2 each.
Wow.
So what is it like? Oh, it's my turn. No, it's your turn. No, it's my turn. It's your turn. And I thought, how would you even remember their names?
No. 82. No. You're one of mine? Okay, good.
Unless they named them all after Dad. So there'd be 10 Toms. And
That's not helpful either, Tom.
Tom number one, Big Tom, Little
Big Tom,
Tom,
exactly. Tom,
Tom, Tom, Tom, Tom, Tommy,
Tommy, Tommy Thomas,
Tom yeah. Knockers, whatever.
Yeah. So I was like, oh my goodness. So yeah, that was very interesting. But I would say it was a fabulous week this day. You know, this week we had Halloween, which is always kind of a fun time. But
right.
I said this year, you know, I'm not buying all that candy because there are not a lot of kids coming, and I eat it all. And I used to even buy candy I didn't like. I still eat it. I'll have some of them gummy worms. I'm desperate.
Didn't work very well. You know?
So this year I decided I'm just going to give out quarters.
Okay. Huh.
So I was giving each kid two quarters,
nice.
They were happy with it and everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then I wanted some chocolate.
Oh, no.
So around 9 o'clock, I thought, if the next kid comes and I give him 3 quarters, maybe they'll give me some chocolate.
You're buying candy.
Much of that's the way
kids.
It's supposed to work, Linda. Trick or treat, I don't know. Give me some of that candy, I'll tell you.
Yeah, give me another quarter. But, you know, it was a very enjoyable evening. A whole bunch of my neighbors, like, we live like in a cul-de-sac, you know. They were over there, and they said a lot of kids didn't come either. And then they reminded me, oh, last year, Linda, after Halloween, you gave us all our candy because you donated somewhere. And I'm like, oh, just like, give it to me fast. It has to go right in my car and right to the place. But they had, like, Snickers. And
yeah, which are great. I know. Yeah. But if it's out of the house, you won't eat it.
No, it's not. Exactly.
Yeah, I understand.
Exactly. So if anybody has any candy, they can drop it at my house because it'll go to Operation Military Matters. And
oh, that's
Operation
wild.
Military
right.
Matters
oh, cool.
sends all care packages
to... I never thought. What do you do with all that old, not old, but all
right.
that leftover candy
right.
after Halloween?
You
obviously,
bring it to
around
Linda.
The house, it's going to just go into your stomach
right.
and onto your
And
wherever.
You know, when you're a 20-year-old boy yeah. in the Army and you open
yeah.
up that box and there's a bunch of Snickers
Heck
in
yeah,
there
man.
And some
that's
stuff.
That's awesome. What a great
yeah.
idea. Fabulous.
So we can do that. So, but you have to do it quickly because we can't hang it at my house. But I, also this week we went down to, me and some caregivers went down and saw the sunset.
Where at?
In the Aramark Beach.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
So, you know, people come from all over the United States and the world to see the sunset here.
Yep.
And I live 4 miles from here.
And we can't get in the car and drive for 4 miles.
Do you ever do the drum circle?
I love the drum circle.
The drum circle.
Tell all listeners about the drum circle.
The drum circle is the best people watching ever.
Yeah.
And there's one here and there's one in Siesta Key, but we like the vibe of this one better. It's a little more local.
And it's been around for a long time.
Long time, yes.
And so tell all listeners where it is.
Well, it's on Treasure Island.
Treasure Island.
Yeah. You can't.
On Sundays.
On Sundays. It's, well... About 2 hours before sunset, because what we've noticed is when the sun sets, the police come and make you leave.
Well, that's what happened the other night. So we went and we saw the sunset, and we didn't go like the second it went in the water. Right. It was like probably like 10 minutes later. And part of the parking lot was had a fence. Huh. And I had two people with me that was disabled. So I'm like, okay, girls, you're going to have to go around that way. I'm going to hop the fence because I can just lift my leg over it.
Right.
And then I saw this police officer there, and I said, could you please open the gate so these handicapped people can just go right to the car instead of having to go back on the beach or over another bridge or whatever. And he was like, yes, but you ladies have to know, the minute of the sunset, the parking lot's closed.
They were waiting.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
And I was parked there for like 2 hours.
I did not know that.
Parked there for like 2 hours was $5. I hear if you walk down to Madeira Beach now, it's like $30.
Really?
This is crazy.
Crazy.
Wow. Craziness. But the sunset was lovely. It really was. It's just a whole different thing. You know, you go down there, you breathe, it feels good. It's, you know, it was really, really nice. And then the other day I got to go on a pontoon boat in the afternoon with some caregivers. And we just stayed in the Intercoastal. Yeah. But it was lovely. And we have to do this stuff for ourselves. Because, you know, a lot of the work I do is weary. You know, it's a diagnosis, it's a da-da-da-da. And so myself as a caregiver, even though I'm not a direct caregiver at this moment, I'm still a caregiver to a whole bunch of people. You need to do that stuff because then I can do everything else so much better.
Right.
And not gritting my teeth and not being resentful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I think that's a good thing.
Taking care of yourself. We've always talked about it in any role of a caregiver or a caregiver's caregiver type situation. You got to take care of yourself first.
And everybody has to take care of themselves. Yeah. You know, my grandson had a friend sleep over last night. And so this morning I'm talking to this boy, he's like 16 years old. And I said to him, you know, I have a sign on my bathroom mirror that says, you're looking at the person responsible for your happiness today. Mm.
Yep.
And he looked at me, okay, Grandma. And I'm like, you know what? It's true.
It is, absolutely.
And you need to know that at 16 years old and whatever age, it's up to you. You have your choices about what you do. Your road may be a little longer than you want to get to do what you want to do, but you still have that choice.
Well, on the flip side, the person you're looking at right now is responsible for your misery, too.
Exactly. I never thought of it that way. Oh, that's very true.
It is. There's always a flip side. Yes. So how do we get rid of that person?
I don't know. You just have to avoid. But, you know, it's funny. You know, when everybody says to me, how you doing? I always say I'm joyful and grateful.
Right.
Okay. Well, years ago, I was going through a tough time. People would say, how you doing, Linda? I said, I'm hanging in there. And then one day I thought, who wants to be hanging in there? In there. And when you say that to people, they just kind of go, you know, sorry, you know, whatever.
Yeah, well, our words are very important in how we use them.
So I said, I thought about choking that day, I said, no, that's it. And I always say I'm joyful and grateful. And sometimes people look at me with a little tilt of the head, and I said, you know.
Better than hanging.
No, I say some days I'm joyfully challenged.
Oh, joyfully
but
challenged.
But I'm always grateful.
Joyfully challenged.
But I'm always grateful.
Well, when we met, I don't know if you remember, but and when you asked me how I was, I said, fabulous, fierce, and on fire. And I've been saying that for years. It's a great conversation starter. It's something different. It's just...
We get tired of hearing the same thing.
Well, it's a great affirmation, too. So every day, 5, 6, 8, 10, 20 times a day, I get to affirm, I'm fabulous, fierce, and on fire.
I'm joyful and grateful.
Yeah.
It's true. It's in you. And I always say, like, if I'm in the store and I check out, I go, have a delicious day. And they go, whoa. That sounds kind of cool. I said, well, you have it. But you have to watch out if you say it to little old men. They start winking at you. I'm in big trouble.
So what exactly does that mean, delicious day?
All right. Cammie, let's talk about what you do, and because I think it's so interesting and it'll be so helpful to so many people.
Well, I tell you, that's a loaded question. What do we do? We at the Real Agents of Change are really the bridge between the nonprofit world and the donors who want to give them real estate. So, you know, donations of real estate have been happening for over 100 years. It's a tax code. Hey, if you donate anything, but real estate is our specific thing, you can get fabulous tax deductions. But the reason that the majority of us have never heard about it is because 99.9% of nonprofits just won't take real estate. And frankly, they shouldn't. It's too complicated. It's risky. It costs money to pay off mortgages and to take on responsibility.
Something else you
got to babysit. Something else that's got a liability. Something else that requires board meeting after board meeting. So they just won't do it. And when I learned about this 3 years ago with real estate background and nonprofit background, I thought, you know, there's 2 million realtors out there. Let's teach 1% of them to bring it back to their communities. And over the last 3 years, we've learned that not just real estate agents, but nonprofits themselves, fundraisers, financial advisors, they're all coming to our class to learn how this works because they're blown away that they've never heard of it before. And there's actually proof that when a nonprofit takes non-cash assets, they can 6 times their endowment over those who only take cash. So I'm really grateful to be here and meet Sean because 65% of these donations are instigated by the financial professionals out there because they know it's a great tax deduction. They just don't know any nonprofits that will take real estate.
And how many nonprofits are suffering?
All of them.
Especially since COVID.
Yep.
Well, you know, here in Florida, there's 160,000 nonprofits.
Oh, my gosh.
It doesn't mean they're all charities, though.
Right.
So that's it, yeah.
Well, they are doing anything.
Correct, yes.
Well, around the country, there's 1.5 million, 499 per county on average. But here in Florida, 2,400 per county on average.
Wow.
And right in Pinellas County, there's over 8,000 nonprofits that need our help. So that's what we're here for, to spread the word.
So explain a little bit more about it, because I didn't understand it in the beginning. It took me a while.
Yeah, you have to hear it a couple of times to really grasp it. I mean, the simple concept is there are people who care enough about nonprofits, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, veterans, animals, churches, et cetera, and they want to donate real estate. They want the tax deduction. They want to leave legacy. They want to simplify their estate, all that fun stuff. But their nonprofit won't take real estate. And so it's just stopped this in its tracks. Although $9 billion, with a B, a year, is donated to nonprofits this way. So there's a handful of people who have figured it out. But the easiest way to explain it is there's 3 ways that a property owner can help nonprofits with the proceeds from their real estate.
Okay.
The first way is what people usually think of. Well, why doesn't the donor just go sell their property and give the proceeds to the church? This is the worst way because at the end of the day, the nonprofit gets the least amount. The donor gets the least amount of tax benefits, and Uncle Sam gets a big portion in the middle. It is what it is. So when people say that, I say, stop. It's the worst way. You're missing the boat here. So the second way is if the donor actually donates that property directly to the church or the Alzheimer's community or the veterans group, et cetera. But the problem is mortgages have to be paid off, roofs need to be put on, somebody's got to manage and maintain. It's just overwhelming. It's scary. They have it written in their bylaws that they don't do it. Some can take real estate. They'll tell you they take real estate, but when you talk to them a little bit further, they'll take it if it's mortgage-free, and it's vacant, and it's local, and it's easy. But what about the whole country? See, real estate can be donated anywhere in the country, sometimes anywhere in the world, for any nonprofit. So the second way, where the donor actually donates it directly to their church, 99.9% of the time, it won't happen because the church won't take it.
It's too much to manage.
It's just too much. And even if they have, you know, Sean and I sitting on their board advising them, the mortgages have to be paid off. In order for the donor to get the tax deduction they want, the property has to be donated to a 501c3. And you can't exchange hands unless it's lien free. So the mortgage has got to be paid off if the donor wants cash. And they just won't do it. So there's the third way, which is the way we do it. So we've partnered with what we call a third-party transactional 501c3. All they do is take gifts of real estate, pay off mortgages, give donors money if they want money, etc. When they take title to the property, the donor gets all their tax benefits. They're made whole if they want. Let's say it's a $1 million condo.
Okay.
And they say, you know what? I love the Alzheimer's community, but I don't love them that much. I paid $300,000 for this thing 10 years ago. I want my $300,000 back in my pocket. But they can have the $700,000 equity. Well, the Alzheimer's may not be able to handle that. So we have a 501c3 that's all they do. So they give the donor their $300,000 cash. Donor's happy. They got their tax deduction even this time of year. We have a story, actually, a great story that tells it all. Berkeley Humane Society in California. Gentleman last year, December 10th, came to the team and said, hey, I need a tax deduction this calendar year.
Like right now.
Yeah.
And if there was a board that had to have meetings and right. had to, but the way that the team does it, they can. So they did. They took the property, got him off the deed. He had his tax deduction in December last year. And then when they sold it, there was a $400,000 proceed. And so the Berkeley Humane said, wait a minute, where did this come from? Real estate, huh? So they reached out to their donors and they said, look, we don't know how this works, but somebody just donated real estate.
Yeah, so we'll take some.
Right. Well, they said, does anybody else have any? And a woman said, yep, I got a house in a 55 and older community. My mother left it to me. I'm never going to live there.
There you go.
And so they got another $646,000. So the moral of the story is one nonprofit, two donors, 6 months, $1,052,000. And it's just because people want to leave legacy. They need tax deductions. They want to give, but they want to give from their wealth bucket, not their cash pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. Sure.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And there are people that have property that don't even remember they have property. And they bought a couple acres here or there. And for what? It's got to be worth something because it always goes up. That's for sure.
You know, in the last year, right here in Florida, we have a good friend, Jessica Peterson, is a real estate agent. And she has told me three stories because she tells everybody about this. And three times there have been people that say, oh, yeah, I had real estate given to me. Just last February,
I don't know what to do with it.
Well, a 22-year-old girl had three pieces of property donated to her because an elder gentleman in her neighborhood was going in the hospital. He said, I don't even know if I'm going to make it out. I've got three properties. I'd rather you have it than the state. And he signed it over to her.
Interesting.
And it happens all the time.
Yeah, and how many times, you know, when a state is settled and the kids are like, I don't want that. Whatever real estate my mom had or my parents had or whatever, and I don't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if they knew that they could do this way and give it to somebody, you know, do a good thing with it.
Right on the Parkinson's.org website is a page about taking real estate because of our team. So our team explained it to them, and they've had it on their website for a year. But what we want to say is, you know, don't just put it on your website and wait for somebody to call you. Become proactive. Do things like this. Educate people. People want to know about this. They need to know about it. And the real estate agents love it because every donation of real estate can't give the cash to the nonprofit world until the property's sold.
Right.
So we hire a real estate agent at a full commission. They want to work with us. So
people know better, they do better. But they have to be educated, as you said.
Yeah.
But right now, we have to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888 478 2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is, things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
So I'm so glad you're back with us, and we're going to continue our conversation a little bit with Cammie. She just gave Sean and I her book.
Very interesting.
Which is Real Estate is Hot, Fundraising is Not. So thank you for this. And you said you were going to offer that to some listeners?
Yes, I'll give you a link that you can put in the chat where they can get a free download PDF of the book. So happy to. We're actually going to start in January doing a weekly talk with the author, going over the book, because it's the handbook, it's the playbook. It teaches people not only about charitable real estate, but what do you do with this knowledge, because knowing about it doesn't do you any good if you're not out talking to people.
Right. So what's the last thing you want our listeners to hear, and how can they find you and all that good stuff?
Well, we want you to know that for-profits and nonprofits, our goal is to bring them all together. We want to give $1 billion a year to the nonprofit world. We're focused right here in Florida.
That's a big number.
Yeah.
Well, right here in Florida, we just created a CE course for realtors to get credit towards their license to actually become charitable real estate knowledgeable. So
yeah,
we love partnering with mortgage and title and attorneys and home inspectors, just, you know, because they want to get in front of realtors, and so do we. They are the ones that will help us spread the knowledge along with people like yourself. So feel free to reach out to the Real Agents of Change on Facebook, on LinkedIn. We'll give the phone number and email address. We're easy to find.
And you know what's great about that? Because there are a lot of real estate brokers out there that just don't know about this. And there are a lot of real estate brokers out there that don't care. They just say they're real estate brokers. The ones that are going to take the course, the ones that are going to do that, those are the ones that care. Those are the ones that want to be better educated and make a difference.
Well, those are the ones that we really want to talk to. The ones that are already sitting on fundraising committees. They're already giving a percentage of their commission. We want them to know, we don't want you to give a donation. We want to give you a full commission to do this. And the only other thing I want to say is, people see this and they say, sounds too good to be true. And I say to them, how bad does something have to sound for it to be true for you? It's okay that nonprofits can get funded by $600,000 on average from one gift. It's okay that the donor gets tax benefits and it makes them feel good to leave legacy. It's okay that the realtor gets paid a full commission.
Yeah.
Everybody wins. That doesn't mean that it doesn't work. It just means you've never heard of it.
Right. You just don't know that dance.
Yep, exactly.
You learn that dance.
There you go.
You know, I belonged to Kiwanis for 17 years, and this week we had the Field of Honor, which was unbelievable. The flags run for the month of November by St. Pete College, by the Seminole Library in City Hall.
And what is that exactly?
It's called the
Field of Honor.
So you get a flag for $35.
Right.
And, you know, they're like 8-foot tall things. And there's a streamer on there, and it says Thomas Barham's Army of the Years.
Hmm.
Really?
So it could be for someone that's deceased or someone that you just want to honor now. So we started it 7 years ago, and we had 15 flags.
Right.
This week we did 500 flags.
Wow.
And I am the youngest one in my Kiwanis.
Right.
Drilling holes and all this stuff. But Duke Energy really stepped up to the plate. And I have to say thank you to Duke Energy, because they put in full light poles with ambient lighting for us to have them at night, because they're going to be there 24/7.
Sure.
That's a big deal.
Is there pictures of this somewhere?
It's all on my Facebook.
You'll have to show me.
I
want to see them.
And So this was on November 1st, because it's for the month of November. And then November 4th, the other day, we had a little ceremony at City Hall, and you know, all the different armed forces was there, and Duke Energy gave us $10,000.
Wow.
I started bawling.
Wow.
I was like, that was, you know.
Fabulous.
And they really want to be part of our team.
Sure,
because
sure.
We can't go any bigger in that location.
Right.
We would have to go maybe on Park Boulevard where the new park is. Because, you know, you got electrical, water.
Sure,
and,
yeah.
There's a strong veteran community here. As a matter of fact, tomorrow we're going to be at a golf tournament with a group called Heartstrings for Heroes. And they give guitars to Purple Heart recipients and their families. They call them Gold Star families. So we're always wanting to help the veterans.
Yes, this
children.
Is a great area for vets. It really is. There was the American Legion was there, you know, the other one. And the American Legion Post in Madeira Beach, I didn't realize, is the largest American Legion Post in the United States.
In Madeira Beach?
In Madeira Beach, because they get a lot of bay pines.
Oh, yeah, sure, but right? Wow.
In the United States.
That's huge.
I got to go down there. Wow. I got to check it out. I got to meet some people.
That's good.
So I'm going to have them on the show in a couple weeks. They have a whole caregiver division I didn't even know about through the American Legion.
Well, I want to know more about that, for
you
sure.
You know me, Sean.
You are everywhere.
But, yeah, it was just fun, you know, meeting everybody yesterday and all that stuff. So, one last time, where can our listeners find you?
Cammie Baker, CammieBaker.com, the Real Agents of Change. We're known as The Rock, which stands for RAOC, Rock, the Real Agents of Change. You can find us everywhere. We've been written up in Yahoo Finance, and just our book is out, and we really just want you to know it does work. It's been happening for 100 years. This isn't something we're trying to figure out. $9 billion a year. Let's just get some to your church, your nonprofit, your veterans.
Yeah, that'll be great. Thank you so much for being with us
today. Thank you. Thanks.
Excellent.
Yes, it is excellent.
Very cool.
Sean, we have some questions that I gave you from some
I saw those, yeah. Those are right down my alley, for sure.
Me.
So now we pivot from real estate and charitable donations to the wonderful, exciting topic of going into a nursing home.
Yeah.
Becoming incapacitated, losing your ability to take care of yourself, the challenges of taking care of somebody else through a caregiver situation. So it's a kind of a big pivot. I'm not sure there's really a good segue from one of these topics to the other. But yeah, so we wanted to talk a little bit on your questions. The big one, the first one up there is, how do I protect my assets?
You know, I just spoke to a caregiver the other day, and she's just so afraid of everything that she's not doing anything to help her loved one. She's afraid to spend her money. She's afraid not to spend her money.
You're paralyzed. You can become paralyzed.
Yeah, so then she does nothing. Not good
Which
for her,
the
not
worst
good for
thing
her husband,
do, of course.
Right?
Absolutely. So taking a little bit of action in those kind of a situation can change your world. And you can lose all of that fear with a little bit of knowledge.
Yeah.
Okay. Taking some action to reach out to somebody that understands how to solve the problem can all of a sudden remove that piece from the table. You know, when we talk about Alzheimer's and we talk about Parkinson's, these progressive degenerative disease issues, you know, as a caregiver, it can be very, very frustrating because you can't fix those problems.
No, and it's not going to get better.
It's not going to get better. And this is, you're on a train that is going in a very predicted destination. And at some point in time, you just kind of get overwhelmed. And not only am I taking care of my loved one, which can be just absolutely, rewarding, but also horrific at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you have the situation of, oh my God, when I can't do this any longer, how am I going to pay for that?
Right. Or after my loved one's gone, there's nothing left for
me. Right. Because everything has been exhausted taking care of this, which is a real issue.
And that's okay to feel that way.
100%. And you can take steps and take action in order to eliminate all of that by just going out and getting educated on the situation. So when you say, how do I protect my assets? Protecting your assets from what? Now, in my world, what I've done for the last 32 years is I've helped people protect their assets from the cost of long-term care.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in our community, an average cost of care in a nursing home is $10,000 a month.
Yeah.
And it can be more than that. That's kind of the going rate. But $10,000 a month is kind of real money, all right?
Yeah.
And maybe for 1 month we can suffer through that, 2 months we can maybe do it. But multiply that over a year, three or 4 years, and that will wipe you out financially.
Well, especially with someone with dementia. They can be healthy every other way.
Yeah.
They're going to live
10, 15
years.
Can be with us for a while.
Right.
Okay. I have kind of a black sense of humor and so much because of what I do and who I work with. And I sometimes tell my clients, I go, listen, dying's easy. It's the living part that's hard, mm-hmm. okay? And that's when that living part and taking care of somebody in a setting like a skilled nursing facility, it's financially undoable.
Yeah.
So we look towards a program called Medicaid to help pay for the cost of that care. And it is kind of a silver bullet. And given the options that you have out there, paying privately out of your own funds, which is a finite option, by the way, that you ain't going to be able to do that for long.
No.
Okay, it's going to go away. No. Then you can use a long-term care insurance type of a situation. The vast majority of people do not have long-term care right. insurance. Maybe one out of 100 of my clients has, that's if that even. So that sometimes is not a real good solution. You can look to Medicare, for example. I mean, everybody that's over 65 understands Medicare is out there. It pays for your hospitalizations, pays for your doctors. Is it going to pay for the nursing home?
Yeah.
No, mm-mm. It's not. Well, I guess, footnote, it'll pay for nursing home care in a rehabilitation setting when you're getting better, but it's designed to get you better and then get out.
Right.
So there's a 100-day max on that.
Yeah.
After the 100th day, you're on a private pay situation. And with Medicare, which again, I'm not saying Medicare is bad, but it's just not a solution in this situation. Medicare will end for the client if they stop getting better, if they plateau, if they've gotten as good as they're going to get. Medicare is going to terminate their coverage. And then in the world of cognitive impairment, when we're dealing with memory issues and Alzheimer's and these kind of things, that cognitive impairment can dramatically affect your ability to rehab.
Yeah.
Because you're not taking in
the
thing. Yeah, you don't understand, and they can rapidly hit that plateau.
Yeah.
Not because they're physically not able to do it, but cognitively they're not able to.
Right.
So Medicare is not your solution, at least not on a long-term basis. But then we have Medicaid. And Medicaid will solve that. And so what we've done for the last 32 years is assist our clients in qualifying for that benefit to get Medicaid to come in and pick up the cost of that care. The system's kind of broken. I wish we didn't have to do all of this weirdness in order to qualify for Medicaid. It should be part of Medicare. It just doesn't seem right. I mean, it is what it is. So we got to play the game that we have. So in the whole Medicaid thing, how do you protect your assets in that world? I qualify you for these benefits. So the question is not so much how do I do this, but when should the client do this?
Right.
When should the client take action?
Right, when do I think about this?
Right, when do I do something about it? And right. this comes back to that person that you were talking about earlier that's kind of just locked down. If they have an issue that's manifesting in their world, in other words, the wind's blowing in this direction, all the signs are out there, I think it's an awfully good time to begin taking action now. Okay.
Yes.
The writing's on the wall.
Yes.
What are we going to wait till we get to the nursing home before we fix this? Why don't we fix it now? And then you get all that relief of
such less stress.
Less stress. The uncertainty goes away. The fear goes away. Oh my God, I'm going to run out of money. What up? Oh, yeah. How am I going to take care of myself? All of these things, poof, goes away because we sit down and we say, okay,
you have a plan.
How much money do you have? This is what are the characteristics of that? This is the trajectory that your person is on. How we think of how soon this is going to actually happen, and these are the steps we need to start taking now. So it's sooner is better than later.
And let's talk about, what if I think I want to just give $20,000 to my kids each?
Yeah, that's all. Always that? Like, it's hard to see me smiling on the radio, but that's.
They see you on YouTube, though.
It's probably not a good idea.
But don't people think about that a lot?
Well, of course. I mean, a lot of folks.
I'm just going to give the money to my kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I won't have any money.
Because, your situation, you have some fundamental knowledge of how Medicaid works. You can only have so much money to qualify
right.
for
or
this.
I'm at this
so
certain age.
Why
don't
I just give some to my kids?
I'm not going
to
live that much longer. Yeah,
seems like an easy solution. Well, it's not a solution, not at least if you do it that way. Medicaid has a first commandment. Medicaid's first commandment is thou shalt not give your assets away to qualify for Medicaid benefits. The penalty for doing that is disqualification for Medicaid.
Yeah.
So it's exactly the opposite of what you're trying to do.
Right.
So giving things away is very, very delicate and can be dangerous. There are ways to do it. We do it all the time with our clients, but it has to be done under
advice.
What the rules say you can do. A lot of times when I'm helping my clients qualify for benefits, they'll show up and one of our questions is, hey, have you given anything away in the last 5 years? And if they have, that's a problem that we have to fix. And that's the good news, is that if you violated that commandment, if you violated that rule, there is a way to unviolate it.
Okay.
And it's actually kind of simple, and it's thought.
But that's why people need to go to you. They need an attorney who knows what they're doing. You know, one of my caregivers lives in Olympia, Washington. Her attorney told her to spend down the damn money.
Right. Well, no. It drives me nuts.
Her attorney told her that.
Yes, and the problem is that attorneys are like doctors in many ways because we're very specialized in what we do. I have no business in the world talking to you about a divorce or a bankruptcy or a car accident because that's not my sandbox. That's not where I play.
Right.
But when it comes to long-term care issues and preserving assets and taking care of our people, that's what I've done for 32 years. Right. I'm really good at that.
Exactly.
I have no business giving you any advice on anything.
Well, I hate when there's an attorney that says, I could do this, I could do that, I could do this, I could do that. Right away, I don't want to go to him
for
nothing.
Well, jack of all trades, master of none. You know, that saying exists
for
a reason.
Well, how would you even keep up with education and everything?
And I tell you, in the world that I swim in, this pool, this thing that I, this sandbox I play in, and Medicaid and public benefit law, there is no rhyme or reason to how this stuff works. It is, we actually call it Alice in Wonderland law. It is what's up is down. B does not come after A. There's no logic to it. You can do this one thing, but you can't do the other. But they look identical, but there's subtle changes. And, you know, it's crazy. And you need to have somebody out there that has some experience doing this.
Yeah.
And that's where the elder law attorney comes into play. Right. So. For sure.
I saw there was one last question.
Yeah, what's up?
What is voluntary guardianship in Florida?
Wing! I love that. Let's now for something completely different.
Well, that's what all this is they're asking.
No, it's a good thing. So voluntary guardianship, you know, the whole idea is that as we move through life, we take for granted that we can do tomorrow what we did yesterday, that we're going to be in charge of our affairs, we can take care of everything. And it can change in a minute. Absolutely, it definitely can. And that incapacitating event that happens out there can remove you from the pilot's seat. And then who's flying the plane?
Right.
Okay. So a good way of making sure there's somebody that can fly the plane is using a durable power of attorney. And I call this a co-pilot's license. It licenses. Is that a word? Somebody to be able to be you to fly the plane if you can. It's a redundant backup system. It's super, super good. And that avoids the guardianship route. Now, the guardianship route is something that you do when you haven't done a power of attorney. That person hasn't taken action to plan in that situation. They've lost their ability to manage their affairs. And so now you have to truck off to the court and say, hey, judge, this guy can't do his thing any longer. Yeah. Here's the three doctors that say that he can't, and we need to have somebody else fill his shoes. That he doesn't know a lot of times, and we need to appoint a guardian. Okay. So that's the alternative to the power of attorney. A third option that's out there is a voluntary guardianship. Don't see them very often because it's a kind of a strange set of facts that have to come into play. But this person has to be competent. They have to go to basically the court and say, hey, listen, judge, I want that person to be my guardian.
Yeah, I'm done. I don't want to do these decisions,
but I'm perfectly okay.
Right.
And the doctors have to testify. But I don't want to do this any longer. And, you know, I don't want to appoint, you know, my son or my daughter necessarily to be my power of attorney for whatever reason.
Right.
So I want somebody that will be monitored by the court to be my co-pilot.
That I trust.
Very rare that we see these in use, but it is provided for under the statutes.
Okay.
And there are places where you would want to use it.
Yeah.
So I can't think in 32 years where I've ever actually done one. That's how rare it is.
So hopefully that puts your question to rest. Yeah. And right now it's time to hear once again from our wonderful partners, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle? Struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Footbar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Footbar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Footbar Walker.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Yeah. So Sean and I were just catching up on some different things. You never know who you know, what's going
correct.
On, right?
Yep, that is correct.
But right now I want to mention the Connecting Caregivers Conference that's coming up November 8th, 9th, and 10th. It is totally virtual. It is 3 days, 21 speakers.
It is absolutely awesome.
It is very awesome. I'm very happy about it. The good thing to know is I don't expect anybody to be sitting in front of the computer for 7 hours every day to watch this whole thing.
No, but it's going to be recorded, right?
Yep. And you they'll can be come able in to and
pull,
you come up, out.
Pull it afterwards?
Yep, as long as you register for the conference. So don't not register because you think you can't go that day.
Right.
As long as you register, within 30 days, you receive 21 videos of the conference to watch at your leisure forever and ever.
And it costs you nothing to register.
It's totally free for caregivers.
Yep.
With wonderful sponsors like you and Arden Courts and Accent Care and all a whole bunch of other people were able
to do this. It is absolutely a fabulous thing. I mean, the people that come in and speak on this issue and the things that they have to share are just phenomenal. And I don't know where else you can get that kind of data and that kind of information in such a cohesive, like, dense period.
Well, I'll tell you, it was so cool. After the last conference, we sent the files out to everybody. And within like 72 hours, something like 80% of the emails were opened.
Wow. Yeah, sure.
So they were waiting for that video of that, I didn't see the whole thing. Because it's the same thing as the radio show. People say, yeah, Linda was a really great show until Mom had to go to the bathroom. and then it's like, then it's gone. It's gone. But yeah.
This has persistence. That's what's nice about it. It does have persistence.
Yeah.
You can join in, and it's a dialogue, too, isn't it?
Yeah. There are questions after if you want an opportunity.
So you have the ability to ask questions.
If you see a speaker that's going to be on and you want to ask a question ahead of time, you can just email me, because some people get a little bashful about doing that. But we have Dr. Kate McCarty, who has a new presentation. It's called The Dementia Fairy Tales, Old and New.
Oh, interesting.
So I think that's very interesting. Good. It will be the first time we have voices of aphasia, which is something I think we really need to address today, since Bruce Willis got aphasia. You know, one popular person gets it, and then it opens up. And I tell you, I met a man probably a month or so ago who has aphasia, and he had a business card. On his card, it said, "I am not drunk and I am not stupid. I have aphasia."
I laugh because that's the perception, 100%.
He's drunk or he's stupid.
Yeah, and it's not. It's just that my brain and my mouth are disconnected.
And I'll tell you, so much of everything that we talk about at the conference all boils down to dignity. Dignity for you, dignity for your loved one. Because it's so important in how you treat people. You know, I've been talking about a lot lately about dementia-friendly restaurants.
Right.
And so I went to visit this restaurant when I was away, and they have an area, and it's all purple tablecloths. So, you know, that's the area.
Yeah, sure,
And there's that stuff all over the table.
Yep.
And there's not a lot of loud music, and it's near the bathroom, and they know when someone comes to that table that they get bread right away. Like, right away? That makes a lot of sense.
I know, I hear you.
But you can actually call up ahead of time.
So this is a thing?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you can call up ahead of time, and you can order your loved one's meal and have it cut up for them. So when it's delivered, it's cut up.
So where are these places?
Well, this place was in Tennessee.
In Tennessee. I got you.
But they're talking about doing it in Pinellas County.
Well, that would be a good place.
But can't you imagine if their food comes out and it's already cut up? So I'm not like leaning over the table, cutting your food like you're a baby.
Back to that dignity thing.
Yeah.
Yep. I hear
and it just makes everything easier for everybody, because you know what? I want to sit there and enjoy my meal too.
And we want to have some normalcy to our best for both of us.
Yeah, and less distraction.
Yeah. So, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
So on registering for this, is it very hard to do? I mean,
To connectingcaregiversconference.com.
Connectingcaregiversconference.com. All right.
And you put in your name and your address and your email, and you're good to go.
Excellent.
We send you the link.
Yep.
We send you the link.
Very, very cool.
And like I say, you can come in and out all day, whatever you want to do. Each day at lunchtime, we have Reiki one day.
Oh,
we
really?
We have yoga for caregivers.
How do you do virtual Reiki?
You can virtual Reiki.
You can?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I never knew it until I learned it.
My goodness.
Yes, you can. And another cool thing we have each day, the second half of lunch hour, we have AE Corner, and that's adaptable equipment. So they're going to come and they're going to show you the latest new things for the bathroom or for the bedroom or for the kitchen or adaptable clothing or whatever that kind of stuff is. So it's brilliant, because every day a new caregiver invent something that helped them on their caregiving journey with their mom or their dad or whoever it was. So I'm really excited about that. So it was really great having you all here today. I know how important your time is. I'm so glad you're here, Sean.
Always fun. Always have a good time.
As always. And you can hear Sean at the conference at 9 o'clock on Wednesday, November 9th. And from where are you going to be doing this? Buenos Aires?
I'm going to be in Buenos Aires on that day. So we're going to be virtually calling in on Zoom from Argentina.
So you might be our longest listener.
I never know.
I thought I was doing pretty good when we had like England and Canada and stuff. That's good. Yeah,
it's a 19-hour flight. It's a ways down there.
Goodness. Yeah. All right. Tune in, everybody, next week. Remember how much I care about you. If you need anything, contact me at lindaburhans.com. Remember, God loves you, and have a delicious day.
Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1,
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3,
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.